The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
What only you can do. Doing our days, what only you can do. There are many, several standards and altars and stones have been raised here and there that are conflicting to the performance of the will of God in a generation. God may be raising you up to set again this new standard and foundations. Restoring and rebuilding the old waste places. Describing and determining the patterns of life that men ought to live in for rest, for peace, for life to find expression on the earth. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We pray this morning, our Father, that you will do truly in us what only you can do. It is now. Not then, it is now. Now is the accepted time. We thank you, my Father. I want to bless you this morning for everyone that you have given privilege today to hear your voice. This is the way, walk in it. We thank you, my Father. Create in me a new spirit. Let me bring honor to your name.
Made you more than words can say. Create inside me the heart you seek. Let me bring honor to your name.
Do you hear that?
Today, do in my life what you will do. Yeah.
Making my life,
making my life a new creation.
Doing in me what only you can do.
Lord, doing me,
doing me what only you can do.
Come on, say, doing me what only you can do.
What only you can do.
Please, Jesus, do in me what only you can do.
What only you can do.
We thank you, Father. We just bless your name. We may be sitting in God's presence this morning. Hallelujah. We believe God that it shall be as He had spoken. We believe God that it's going to be as He has spoken. As His word is, as His word are true in Him, so these words will be true in us. I say it will be true in us. We will become living epistles of these things that we are hearing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are fearful, boldness and strength and confidence will enter into them. Those who are indecisive, the power of decision will come into them. Those who are doubting, the power of faith will take them over. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Altogether, a people will be raised to God that will sound a new alarm for a new life and a new standard upon the face of the earth again in the name of Jesus Christ. In the midst of the present decadence and corruption and perversion, a righteous people, a pure people, a holy people, a people that can be described only in the light of heaven, the people that can only be described in the light of the shine of the brightness of heaven, will arise again on the face of the earth. And you are part of those people. Hallelujah. Let me just let you know that what is going on within you at this time, what is going on here, is going on in many other places. And altogether, a call is being made to people to come and to have this upward call, upward life. And though we are handling things that seems natural, but God also wants to be honored in them. And definitely, He will be honored. I say He will be honored. Hallelujah. I believe today we are going to be rounding up our discussions together on this marriage life and so on and so forth that just came from many sides, from two sides. It came from the morning discussions. We didn't plan for it that we extend this long. And also from God standing in my heart, just came together. So I know God is making it double dose thing. And I am sure that in this 4 weeks we have gone through this teaching, it's going to make a lot of solidification in your footing, walking in the faith and fulfilling all this good will of God all through your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have not been in the house here for some time, please go and take all the materials. Even if you have been around, go and take them. And go over them again and think on them. Things don't just become part of you just like that. Think on them. Think on them. What of this? What of this? Think on them. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring answers to you. Much more than we have even explained to you, it will expound it. That's one of the essence of giving the Holy Ghost. It will teach you all things. It will bring all things back to your remembrance again. It's called the Spirit of Truth. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the throne. It's the Spirit of life. You can't live the life except it's by the Spirit teaching. Hallelujah. Today, the last time we met together, we have shared about making a proposal here. We have gone through that. Have we? Okay. We have gone into looking into, before you make or accept a proposal, we have also gone to looking at from proposal to taking a wife, which is called courtship, which we said is not really, as it were, courtship is going to be throughout life. You are always going to court your wife and court your husband throughout life. Hallelujah. Mom, is that not true? You are going to court each other. Courtship must not cease all through your life. You must always do things to get her close to you. You must always do things to get him close to you. So courtship is a lifestyle all through life. Okay? So let's use the language we understand that has demarcation. We can talk about before taking a wife. And we have seen that last time that God expects that stage also, He wants His will to be done. It's not a transient stage that is going to be lost in our life. No, it's a vital part of our life. Though we desire that it's not supposed to be a long time that is being postponed over and over and over and over again on the devil. The devil has been given enough space to thrive in. No, it's supposed to be a time for preparation. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you tired of hearing about marriage and marriage this way? Are you tired of it? I hope you are not. Because you're going to spend how many years in it? I don't know. I've just spent how many years now? 11 years. And my life is going on. The life of God and God's program is going on. Why the marriage is going on? Pari pasu. Can you see that? Okay. Mr. Adoma, how long have you spent there? Almost 16 years only. Like that. And God's life and program and purpose must be going in there. Pari pasu. Amen. Pastor Mark is there. Mama is there. We are all there. And like that. So it's a part of our life that God we have to define very clearly. It must be defined very clearly. It's not a thing you must take in, I mean, go into without proper preparation. Most people have gone to it without proper preparation. They have not given attention. They assume that it will take care of itself. No, it will not. It's not going to take care of itself. It's going to take care of itself by reason of investment of life. Do you understand? Are we in the house together, please? So by the grace of God today, we're going to be looking majorly into taking a wife. Taking a wife. What do I call it? Which today we call wedding, okay? We call it wedding. Right. Amen. Let's read the scripture again. We know the scripture, but let's do it. It's going to help us. When we read for emphasis, light will be shed more to our hearts. So remember we said that it is only when wife is taken that marriage is contracted. Remember we said, you can find a wife and have not taken a wife. There is finding a wife and also preparing to be a wife. If you have not prepared to be a wife, you cannot be found a wife. Is that not true? Right? Hallelujah. So Janet, you must grow and grow and become a wife. Okay? Are we right? Hallelujah. So a wife is to be found. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So it is the help of God that can truly make a man or a person to find a wife. So if God has been the initiator, it will take God also to make it happen. Even when our parents never knew the Lord, God has somewhere there helped them. Are we right together, please? God has directed them based on their realm and their level of development. God has always been in the matter of marriage. From the fall, before the fall, up to today, through the dark ages, God has always been there. Though men may not know that God is there, because God has to choose who comes to life. That is why life is not to be taken by anybody. Hallelujah. Because you cannot give a life, so you cannot take a life. The power to take a life is not given to you. Because it is God who gives the power for a life to come to be. Now it could be by a reason. That is really a kind of a coincidence or accident or whatever. But there's no child that is really illegitimate child. Every child is legitimate because he has a father. He has a mother. Though the father may not show up. Do you understand? So he has a father somewhere. And he has a mother. The marriage may be illegitimate. But the child is not illegitimate. What am I saying? That God is behind every child that comes to the earth, as much also as the devil is interested to see every child that comes to the earth being anchored and subverted to his own. Do you understand? I went in the house together, please. That's the only way that God can keep on having entrance into the earth, is through continuity and generations. So when you don't even know anything about it, God is there. So you are not a child of accident. Amen. You are a child of destiny. God purposed you. So, those who are outside there have not heard of Christ before, they are also children of destiny. They came to the earth because God permitted it to be. Hallelujah. So, I want us to know that it's a vital part of our life, and God wants us to also handle that part before marriage very, very well. And I trust grace is coming to you to do that. And I know you will take this trust responsibly in the name of the Lord Jesus. I say, I know you will take this trust. It's a trust given to you. I know you will take the trust. You will live by it, and you will give to every other person you meet around you. You will not only use it, you will give to your generation behind you coming after you. Are we in the house, please? It's a great trust of heaven to us. If you have used it and has worked in your hands, you can hand it over and tell them, I use this, it work. This is for the pattern of the scriptures. You can also use it and it's going to work for you. Then they have lesser challenge of trying to find out how they ought to live their life. They have seen evidence of life living in victory. And that's why you see Christians in places like America where they have their fathers and their father's fathers been in the faith and they have the fourth generation, they have lesser things to combat. But the unfortunate thing about this is that most of them goes into lukewarmness. They relax and take it that father has conquered it all. No, there's still a part you will have to conquer. But in any way, your father has helped you to conquer some dimensions. Hallelujah. So Genesis 2. Let's read from verse 21 again. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And each time I have to teach about marriage, I teach about that area of deep sleep. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. God caused it, and he did what? He slept. He didn't argue with God and refused to sleep. He slept. God caused it, and he slept. And now God, he permitted God to take one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So it's a job done by two people. God caused it, and Adam accepted it. Many of the times where we have problems in making choices that we are alive. We are alive. We do not really allow God's purpose to be fulfilled in our life. There's a place of rest that God has been announcing before the world began. The same rest he gave to Adam. And that same rest he must give to every one of us, if at all we are going to arrive on the other side safely. It's the rest of faith. It's the rest of God's vision. It's the rest of God's purpose. Until that is enough for you to live by in life. Until if you gain nothing anymore, that is enough fulfillment in your heart. You will never get every other thing right. Everything, all things work together for good to them who love God. Who are they called? According to his purpose. Note that. Don't forget it. That everything will begin to work for you right easily. The day you discover and you enter into a deep sleep in the rest in the purpose of God. You need that. You have to journey into that sleep. God will have to lead you, and you will have to go into that rest. You make up your mind, I want to enter to that deep sleep where I'm no more in control. When all together, God is in control. Hallelujah. When that comes to be, God is able to do all things. There's nothing impossible with God. We read in scriptures, all things are or with him, all things are possible. And without God, nothing will be able to achieve its own rest and easily. You are a branch in the vine, and every branch that does not connect to him is cut off. You understand what I'm saying? Without me, you can do nothing. It's not sent to the world. Without me, you can do nothing. It's sent to you without me because you belong to me. You are part of me. The world is never part of me. So without me, they can do many things. But for you, without me, you can do nothing. It's not going to work out. You are going to need so much strength and energy to make it work. So come in at once and rest. Come in and pursue this rest of God. And you will find rest to your souls. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going somewhere there. And that's where we're going to zero in today. And God took his side and closed it up and makes the woman and the rib, which the Lord God has taken from the man, verse 22, made it a woman and brought her unto the man. He made just one and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman. So that settles the fact that we say there must be friendship. There must be time of interaction for discovery. Even when you have found it out in a dream, in a vision, you still have to romance with that vision and dream in reality and find that this is now. I'm summarizing what we have been saying. Just to say to you that there's no accidental proposal. Okay? Am I right with you, please? Okay. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, that's where we're going today. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. We're taught in those days by Mama, we're taught about the three pillars of marriage: living, cleaving, and one flesh. Come on, say living. Say it again, cleaving, and one flesh. Living, cleaving, and one flesh. That's talking about proposal, wedding, and marriage. All through the time you are planning, when you are living, you are planning to for proposal. Until you finish your living, you cannot propose. Proposal is a mark to show that I have left. Are we right? Am I with you in the house, please? Then cleaving. Now these are definite parts of the process of marriage. Jesus emphasized the same thing in Matthew 19:5. So shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there two shall become one. And there are no more two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And then you said, let no man. Let not man. Man has no power. Man should not. Man is not supposed to put it, separate it. But God made it one. And it was one from the beginning. Are we right, please? Hallelujah. So let's just look at the present culture. What are the things, what are the people involved in, truly involved in marriage? Let's look at them. How many of them? A man shall leave his father and his mother. So the mother, the woman has been with a people. Shall his father, if father shall leave, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. So his wife has left. He has left his father and his mother. And the two shall cleave together. So it means that the two families are the most important people required in marriage. Marriage is totally a domestic affair under God. Even when our parents never knew God, knew Jesus, they have been having marriages, and it is under God, approved by God. You'll find out that in the Bible, in the New Testament, it does not talk about what you should do during naming. It didn't tell her what you should do during burial. It didn't tell you what you should do during marriage. It just said, let them marry. Let them marry. Does it mean that he's saying he does not see what people do in marriage? He's only saying that I already have my pattern for marriage. What man had to, it does not matter. My pattern remains. And that pattern requires the two people, the man and the woman, and their family. And their families. His father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one. Hallelujah. So, what we have there is actually giving and receiving in marriage. You are being given out in marriage, and a family is receiving in marriage. So there's giving and receiving. Now, it's an ancient culture. How did these people, how did God do it in their time? God was the only one who supervised them. They didn't have a parent. But God just left for them that from them, this system will continue to run this way. Let me say to us that it is the parents of the wife that give And it is the prayer of the husband that receives. It is not the church that receives. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the church will come into being and will have put there, let the priest receive the wife and give it to the husband or give to the family. Are you hearing me now? Giving and receiving is done, is totally domestic. The church has webbed himself in too many affairs in recent times. That is unnecessary. And we have told the world, until we do it, it's not beautiful. And what the West sold to us, we have mixed it up with life in Christ. That life in Christ is simple. He said it was not so from the beginning. The life of Jesus is the life of the beginning. It's an eternal pattern. You don't need to improve on it. Are you hearing me? Am I with you, please? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He also made the marriage institution. In the beginning. The parent of the bride gives and the parent of the groom receives. The church is a part of the company of witnesses. So the marriage that takes place where the whole nation church comes together and the bishop bless the marriage is not more holy than the marriage that took place in your village, where two of us went to and were witnesses that it really took place. The holiness in matrimony is not church. The holiness is the fact that it came from God, not from man. It's a holy institution. What makes it holy is not man, it is God. I wear the house together, please. That is why, instead of Israel, I hate divorce. Now, Moses gave us it, that letter. No, it was not Moses that gave you. Moses permitted it because you are hard and stubborn, and he saw your heart. God did not intend it that way. And for many years, they ran that program. And God was looking at them, that these guys are foul in this system. He didn't correct them. Yet, he was the Lord of the system. When it was time, he showed up. It is not in my order. When I made it to start with, I didn't make this one with it. You understand what I'm saying now? I went in the house together, please. So it does not matter how far we have gone with our systems, God will stay there and say, when you are ready for me, I will show up. And when God shows up, the enemy shows down. I went in the house together, please. Am I with you? Now I'm saying this to go back home so you check it up and find out very well where you have seen the church really being involved in the eternal pattern of marriage. Now, in the picture Christ gave, in the scriptures, he gave a parable about the bride accompanying the bride the virgin that went to go and meet the bridegroom. You understand what I'm saying? Are we together, please? And when, before the bridegroom came, the 10 virgins who were the bride accompanying had slept. So what we have is the bride company, the bride, the bridegroom, and the bride company. We call them the friend of the bride. Is it not true? Am I talking to the house, please? And we know the friend of the bride is the church. There's a part of the church that's the friend of the bride, and there's a friend of the church that's the bride, spiritually typified that way. The same thing in the natural, there is a bride and the bride company. We are witnesses to say that these things really truly happen. And it happened in order. Does not matter where it happened, just to say that it happened. Because we are on earth here to represent God and to tell God we saw it happen. Are we right? That's why today, Nigerian law made provision for people to be married together and they gave a certificate. The church will have to go back and get from them their certificate. Because your own is not tenable. Because there's no law that establishes your own in Nigeria. It doesn't matter how big the church is, you have to go back to the local council to take government certificate. Now, what is the problem in what I'm talking about? The church has made a standard that is not acceptable to God, that has become a problem to the saints. And somewhere there, everybody wants to struggle to meet up. At least to tell anybody I'm serious. But I know in a church in Nigeria, when they ask the bridegroom, how much do you have in account? You come and show them their passbook to be sure you are set for marriage. It does not matter how many broken systems we into ourselves, it won't be able to hold waters. Until we are ready to make do with what God provides and teach righteousness and hope in God as the way of life, we will keep on groping. Am I with you, please? Amen. So what we saw there, we saw the parents, we saw the couples, and in all the parables Christ gave, we also saw the bridal company. Now, the important thing I want us to know this morning in taking a wife is that when there's consent, we expect you as a child of God, you are already part of us. So there's nothing you can do here and not get us involved. You know that. Are we right, please? In fact, in the proposal process, we have been involved. So we know how it was going. We know exactly the developments. We have been in that company. You are part of our company. We are part of you as a company. Now, that already makes it a Christian marriage. Because the people involved are children of God. Can you see what I'm saying now? So it is not where they hold it that make it Christian. It is the people involved. We were in a dilemma some years, maybe 2 years away, when one of our sisters here got married. And I was at a point where I have to just stand to do what I know is right in my conscience. Now, went to Lagos for convention. They had the engagement on Friday. My wife came back to attend the engagement. And the next day, they were to have service conducted by us here in a hall there. How many of us were around there? Let me see your hand. You were around? Okay, thank you very much. We had to conduct a service there. And all the while, I was trying to let this lady understand that it will not go the way it normally goes. But since you want us to have a service, we will have it. But that service may not be a wedding service. Because when parents came together and they said, we agree, am I with you please in the house? That these two people will get married together. And they came from all far places with their people. And they came together. And the church is there through my wife or two other people that were in the house here, went there to be part of that. And the parents prayed for them. And today we agreed. We say that we gave you to this man. The mother came and accepted the parents accepted the wife. She sat on their lap. They took pictures together. The government has approved the wedding. Are we in the house, please? Now, where do I come the next day and said, who gave her this man in marriage? This lady in marriage. In this only wedlock. Because I'm in church. Am I talking to you, please? We do it We still do it, but I've questioned my heart. What happened yesterday? It was a drama. We acted it, now we are coming for reality. Is that not true? I said we staged a drama last night. We did a rehearsal. And that one, we and after we have rehearsed, we pack up the stage. And we came on Saturday morning to not perform the real thing. Everybody will be happy. Our sister is getting married. And the man, the father, will take the lady and give to the minister. And the minister wants to join them. Nobody has the power to join couples. It is God that joins people, not by ordination. It is sexual union that joins couples. You can marry them together. I went to the house. They can be married by agreement, but joining is sexual relationship. I will show it to you this morning. I'm beating your theologies. I'm beating your traditions. I'm beating everything out of you. I want to do that. So until you have done that, you are not happy. Because you don't find grace in your heart to do simplicity of truth. The conscience has been adjusted for elaborate things to be happy. I'm not against your reception or receptions and whatever I did that. I did what I did by the truth I have. Are you hearing me? I went in the house, please. But when the time of ignorance, God said it went out. But he now commands that everyone everywhere should repent, having knowledge of the truth. We should always move towards truth and not stay where we are and said we will die here. Doesn't matter what happens. Why? Where we were last year and it was secured. Once God moves from the place and leaves the place, that same place that was the place of habitation of glory and power becomes the dens of thieves and lions and dragons. What we did in the past and God covered it by his glory and power and it was saved. If you try anything there, you'll be alone. You will need strength. You will need power. You need might. And by power and strength shall no man prevail. I went in the house together, please. So we're there that morning. And while they came in, I said, the two of you should come in together. Because you are together. No, the former question is that you will go back and the father will hold her. Church, are you in the house? Father will hold her. She will be veiled. Yesterday she was not veiled. But she is now in an holy ground where she has to be veiled. She will be veiled and the father will take her, holy angel, to the pulpit or to whatever. And the father will hand her over to the priest. And the priest will give her to the man. But you see, in the past, it is to the family. If you go alone to a husband or wife's house, they won't give you their daughter. BJ, when you went to Rome, if you leave to go alone, they will chase you back. Your people, Rahab said that henceforth I am no more of this tribe. I now belong to God's people. Ruth said the same thing. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. It is true you are marrying that lady, but you are marrying that lady on her behalf. Are we in the house, please? We want to use Western culture sometimes to do what is funny. And act as if that girl does not come from a family. As if to say it's your wife. It is your wife, it is true. But we know that it is the wife of that man in that family. So in our culture, we don't want to see the face of family anymore. That the family of the guy. They are done away with. Is that not true? But last night, there was a family that came together and the lady stood on their... Is that not the culture here? She will sit on their laps. They took picture together. That is marriage. That's wedding. What we do now is reverse her. We reverse it back and replay it. The white man invented wedding service. It was an invention of England. They invented that for their royal decoration. It was never part. Even Europe in their history, it was not their part. It was England. When they assume leadership of the world, they are a royal people. Are we right, please? They design everything in the royal picture. It was the son of the king of England that brought that pattern of wedding for the first time. And the church of England adopted it. And from that, it became the job of the church in the world. So when the guy say, I'm not yet ready, he's thinking about the money for wedding. I'm not yet ready. I'm not yet ready. He's not talking about how to live his life. He's talking about how to put money together for such things. And everybody's praying to God. One day, my child also will have this one type. They are not thinking about marriage. They are talking about wedding. They are not saying that my child will have a beauty. No, that he also will have this. Something, somewhere in us, we get fulfilled by that. It's not wrong. I'm only saying that it was not part of the original package. We invented it and now it has stolen the show. Am I in the house with you, please? So, on the day we... So I told her, go and come in together with this man. We're not reversing it. What happened yesterday happened. We were there and we approved it. Let's continue from where it stopped yesterday. Pastor Mark was there. So they came in together. And when we were going to start service, we told them, we thank God for what happened yesterday. We thank God that many of you were there when these two people and their parents came together and they agreed to give these children to each other. And we thank God that this is Mr. So and Mrs. So today. We're here together as a church to appreciate the love of what has happened yesterday. We did that. Didn't we do that? We did that. We thank God what happened yesterday. We bless God for it. And we take songs. And they came in. And we pray for them. Pray for the parents. We pray for all of them. And they went to reception. I felt in my heart, I won't do right if I reverse it. But I know I should not reverse it. What God has done is done. That means that tomorrow, if they don't want to put the ones out there, they are free. My brother-in-law had his engagement in Lagos. And we're all there a day before the engagement. In fact, it was like a service, traditional service. It was Mrs. that conducted the engagement. Sat together, prayed together, sang together. I was asking myself, what am I still doing tomorrow? What am I doing here Saturday morning? It's done! It's done! It's done! There's no place where it was agreed that cleaving should have to be progressive. Go check it out in the scriptures. They went to take a wife. They cannot have a ceremony around it. Are you hearing me? It is taking a wife. It can be with ceremony at whatever level. God locks in truths and whatever in various culture. The last time we went to Benin for a wedding of my brother-in-law, and the last time we went for PJ's own, I saw a people over there who are more sincere than us. Here, until you invite the devil, you invite your enemy, invite everybody around you, you are not happy. Until you invite Satan himself, you are not happy. Yes. Something in you is not just happy until you turn around and you see multitude. And the whole thing is like the stage manager for you. Not my wedding, I was not involved. It was like I was in a theater. And the stage manager, it was not really, it was, action was too mechanical. Like a robot. Stand up. Go like this. Turn like this. You just find that life is not really like that. That's why you have to go 2 days ahead and go and train. And rehearse. Move like this. Let England do their thing. I'm not an Englishman. Truth speaking. The African life is beautiful and simple and beautiful. All through the one we had in Iromi, it was just playing together, sharing together and talking. All of you outside, I pity all of you. I really pity you. My heart, I just feel all together. I know that it's not just going to be well to just say it. That all we need you for is reception. And I knew that day that reception will not be able to take place there. I just knew in my heart. But saying it will be out of place because it's not going to be understood. Left it that way. Now I'm saying that. Am I with you, please? But anyway, you went with us. Praise God for you. And you ate some rice and pounded yam. Is that not true? I like you for that. I went in the house, please. But all of us in that house, there were no more than 20. And we're enjoying ourselves with sharing together as families. That is the way it was described to be. So when I came back from that, I told myself, it's not strange. What I've been thinking on him, it's not strange. It's somewhere there, and somewhere there all over the world. Yet God's children are in captivity of struggle. How many guys there above? You are 28 above. Let me see your hand. You are a man here, you are 28 above. And you're not married. Let me see your hand. Do it. Stand up on your feet. Are you shy? Stand up. You are 28 above and you're a man. Let me see you. Just stand on your feet. Three of them, Abby. Where's the fourth person? Oh, that one. We don't want to, we'll have just given him for it to a wife. But we choose to have mercy upon him so that he can. I say she'll stand. I want you to just know from this moment on that you must begin to stand to your feet and tell yourself I have to be responsible. Am I with you, please? I know for younger them, you're thinking your house for the next 5 years because you look like your baby face is deceptive. Well, some gray hair will be growing coming out of your head. Is your my tongue? Can you, man? You don't know my ear? Go and ask those who are saying that when they got married. They did that 24, 25, 26. When is your turn? They will say, can you, man? Can you, man? I'm only saying to you that we give you trust of life at this time to sit down and begin to map out this in your heart with God and tell yourself, I don't have to work by human calculation. These things are coming out to you. Maybe you'll be a people that will first of all go as a first fruit for this and tell the world it's possible without your patterning. If there will be need to do with the patterns, we will assist you and back you up to do with it. Sit down. Now, the thing is this one. Why are we against this? It's not just a mere thing. There's a power behind it. Though the church may be ignorant of it, but it's not ordinary. There's a power behind it. There's something that is trying to achieve something. No wonder they drive The mammonic drive that is driving this generation is so strong and hard because of the standards that have been set. Standards have been, four standards have been set. I can assure you can live your life and be happy in life if you join your hands to God and agree with God and damn what man will ever want to do or design for you. We will go with you to anywhere and be part of what you are doing as a church. Are you hearing me? Am I talking to you, please? And if you have the money to make the big one, we will come and enjoy with you, but we will not give you special accolade for it. You won't impress me by it. I will just, it's one of the things, it's good. Are you hearing me, please? Are we talking together, please? Thank God for you. We want, okay, that's okay. That's okay. But let the eternal structure, that simplicity be contenting to your heart. Let your heart find rest in that simplicity of God's design. Whatever picture God will now give to it, by whatever means, let it be. But let it be that it's not going to be that you are trying to crave to fulfill that. Because it was not really part of it from the beginning. Now what happens to in the days of Abraham when he took a wife for Isaac? What did he do? Let's take a little and we're going to round up very soon. Hallelujah. You think the world is more civilized today? No lie. Genesis. And Abraham was old and was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his servant, elder servants of the house, that rule over all that he had. Put I pray thee thy hands under my thigh, and I made thee swear by thy Lord and the God of heaven, the God of the earth, and thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Okay, let me just correct this, that when we said take wife from your kindred, we don't mean take wife from this assembly alone. The kindred is in the spirit. You can go beyond this assembly, okay? You can get married to people beyond this assembly, and you can get married to anyone around, okay? I'm just trying to emphasize that. Verse 5, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Are you there? The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and said, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Okay, let's go ahead and see. Verse 15, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. That's emphasis, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher unto her hands and gave him drink. And when he had done giving him drink, he said, I will draw water from for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And you see, observation? God spoke. It also came to observe. So when you say, God has spoken to me, I don't care what I see. Okay? And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drink for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord has made his journey. This is a type passive. This is God. Prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekel weights of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me. I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Micah, which bear unto Nahor." She said, "Moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. This is prayer answered. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Accurate. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelet upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus speak the man unto me," that he came into the man. And behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungathered his camel, and gave straw and provender to his camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. And he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of Canaanites, to whom the land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindreds, and take a wife unto my son." And I said unto my master, "But adventure the woman will not follow me." And he said unto me, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindreds and of my house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath," and so on and so forth. And before I had done for the fire speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water, and said unto her, "Let me drink, I pray thee." And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, "Drink, and I will give thy camel drink also." So I drank, and she made the camel drink also. And I asked her, and said, "Whose daughter art thou?" She recounted that. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. I'm just saying to us from this little read that you will see how simple their culture was then. It does not mean that was how simple it was all over the earth. Are you hearing me, please? It doesn't mean it was as simple as that all over the earth. But these people have a different culture. And that was one of the reasons Abraham was saying, "Go to my family. Don't go out there. I don't want to go and bow to the devil. Go to my family. Go to the people that have my language." And when they got there, they met in the same way Abraham said it, the servant met it there. And it was taken. The wife was taken simply like that. I went in the house, please. Now, how many years has it taken for the journey of complication to come in? Has it made marriages today more beautiful? I'm asking you questions. Answer me, I ask you. Has it made it more joyful? Has it made it better? What has it added to it? "21st generation children, what has it added to it?" I'm asking you. From the same people came Jacob, came Israel, came the people of God and the covenant. Yet these people Abraham was rich. God has blessed Abraham. Yet these people did not sit down to invent a culture that's elaborate. I told you. Now all these patriarchs dwell in tents while other people in other nations were building cities. They didn't have the wisdom to cultivate and build a country. They live all their life in simplicity. They were looking for a country, a lifestyle that will come from heaven. We have beaten in church today than we can show. Everyone will have mercy on us. That we can come to a place of repentance and tell the whole world we have done it wrong. You have not told us about the namings. You have not told us about the barriers. You have not told us about anything that we have taken upon ourselves. We are still meeting and meeting. Yeah, last night we met about the barrier. And I said to them, if not only because I just feel that the street where we live in there is not straight enough, we have 30 minutes service of barrier, we'll bury it, we'll finish it. We'll bury and you'll have been buried. Because burial was as simple as anything in scriptures. Go and check it out through. And Isaac was gathered to his father, and they took him and laid there in his sepulcher beside his so-so and so-and-so. And they mourned for him some days. That's all you're going to hear there. Most of the things we find in church, they came from Europe, from London, from England. England is dried up today. They need life. They have lost the move of God. All they have there is monuments. Their children are crying for life today. All the things they left as beautiful on the ground that they have used to entice their soul and make merry. Where they ought to have lived a life where the life of God is already merry. They built things that were enticing to souls. When the Spirit left them, they did not know it has left them for so long a time. But they have enough joy in their soul. Not from the Lord, from the things their hands have built. So when you see the patriarchs trying to shy away from elaborate building on the earth here, they know that it has the power to draw souls. Yeah, we can do it. It does not matter. It doesn't matter today. But in 20 years to come, won't it matter? The substance that built it today, will it still be there 20 years' time? Won't our children come there and bow their heads to worship that same God there? Because the God of that substance may not be there anymore. Father, we thank you. What are we saying today? We're saying that godliness is profitable unto all. It has the promise of the life which is, and it has much more promise of that which is to come. If we will live our life and find life and love life, we will see many good days. Who is he that is looking for long life? Who is he that is going to seek and find good days? Let him refrain. The law is refrain. It must not be a grabber. It must be a refrainer. If any man will love life and see good days, refrain his tongue. Refrain his desires. Refrain his desires is lost. It's a refrain. That man will see life. Will find life and see many days. Lord, we thank you this morning that the trust we are receiving, the trust we are saying, that you have done it well from the beginning. In the beginning, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. It is glorious. It is powerful. In the beginning, you made it all perfect. It was good. You made it good in your times. You made all things beautiful. You made it beautiful. It was beautiful. And it can be beautiful again. Without this present world, it can be beautiful. It was you that made it beautiful. It was your life that made it beautiful. Without what has been carved, the images, the idols, that has been carved today, it can still be beautiful. For the idols are the source of sorrow, are the source of pain, are the source of anguish. They are the reasons why men lost hold of the true joy. that began from the beginning. This morning, we say it is beautiful. We look unto you, Father, from our hearts, to the source of life, from whom all blessings flow. The one from whom all issues of life flows. We look up to you, the Son of the morning. We say, shine on us. We want to shine in our heart, but you have to shine on us. We look for to the morning. We look to the source of the beginning. We look unto you. Lighten us. Illuminate us. Give us knowledge. Give us wisdom. Until you have made us wise, we will not be able to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. We pray this morning, Father, that the beginning light will come back to us. Beginning light will turn upon our heart. For God has shone in our heart and has given the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus. Shine. Let the Lord shine. 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 That's a song. That's a song. Shine, Jesus, shine. Flood this place with the Father's glory. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, rivers, flow.
Love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on us. Shine on us. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this place with the Father's glory. Let Spirit bless. Set our hearts on fire. Glory, my Lord, God, the nation, with grace and mercy, send forth your words, Lord, and let them be light. Lord, I come into your house of presence. From the shadows into your radiance, by the blood and the entire your brightness, search me, try me, consume all my darkness.
Shine on me, shine on me.
Let's just pray this afternoon. The things we are talking about is beyond you. There's a power that constructs that is beyond what we're talking about, just mere words like that. There are powers constructing the systems. We pray this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed your light will shine on our heart, and we flood the nations. We flood in our heart, we shine in our heart, and reach beyond us to all the nations of the earth. The true light of Jesus Christ, the light of his presence, the light of his glory, the light of his knowledge, the light of the beginning, the light of eternal life. Shine forth the knowledge of the glory of God, the knowledge of the tree of life. We pray this morning, that's what we have accepted, that's what we are recommended to partake in. You say we should eat of this, we should eat of it, we should eat often and often and often until death is inscribed, is destroyed, until death is taken out of place, until life breaks forth on other side. We pray this morning, we have eaten again, we have received again, we have drunk again, we have drawn again. We pray, oh Lord, that this will break forth in us. We break beyond us to the nations, to the land. We break into the all, to the body of Christ. We break forth everywhere, that the hold of death, the hold of sin, the hold of the world that has held us bound, has made all body weak and heavy, that these bodies be broken. We pray this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand upon the template of God's word today. We stand against the template of that which you have shown. We ask you, Father, that you remove and you take away this you unfold and fold, and you fold up, oh God, this vesture. You fold us this old vesture, this old raiment, this passing thing. Let it quickly pass away, oh God, that the new can unfold itself. As the new, oh God, is being imprinted today, this morning upon our heart, that the new can truly find expression. Let this old, oh God, become old. Let it wax old. Let it just wax old. Let it just be folded like a vesture. Let it just pass away, my Father. Let the new be unfolded in our soul, in our mind, in our heart, in our life, in our world, in the church. Let it just flow in. Let a new thing roll out in the name of Jesus. Let the present love of the world in the church, let the present love of the present of the woman of this city, of this holy city, of this wicked city, of this abominable tree, let the love and the passion and the romance that we have gone for so long a time, let it win. Let the new love of God be enacted in our heart for the Father, for the Savior, for his body, for the brethren, for the house of God, in the name of Jesus. Let his present captivity be put an end to, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let God's people, Lord, come into liberty. My Father, there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law cannot do, it was weak through the flesh. God sending his Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God may be revealed in us who walk no more after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, we rise tonight, today, O Lord, in the Spirit, a new standard of life, O God, that will declare liberty in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We bless your name this morning. We point this one to a new direction of life. Men will hear the call and the sound, and they will hearken. Hallelujah. Thank you very much this morning for being able to bear with us for this long. Are you happy? Are you sure you're happy? If you have any issue with me, I've told you before, any issue with me, no problem, note it down there. We have a grant to discuss it. But the things we have shared, sometimes it may be more than us. It's good that you hear it and you know it. Some of these things may be orchestrated by your parents. Okay? But any power, you have the power to influence it, influence to your own convenience. Are you hearing me? And when God gives you the inroad to take over it, take it over. Are you right with me, please? And let freedom, let beautiful thing come out of it. The reception we had for PJ last time here, how many of you enjoyed it? How many of you enjoyed the reception? You like it? But it doesn't look the one that happens that happened in civic center. Even in the village, God's life will flow. It doesn't need the wall. If we can use it, we use it. But I won't even decree it for you. I will decree that you will leave. I won't decree the package. I just decree that you will leave. And you will leave. Hallelujah. I'm just saying to us that it can be anyhow. Open your mind at this time. And let's begin to talk together. So that it can be liberation. Amen.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.